Turbert, and you are listening to Feel Free to Deviate, the podcast that attempts to figure out how people feel about success, their careers, and how they got to where they are today. Occasionally, we get off track, just like the best laid plans. That said, this episode features Bjorn van Spangen, and he rarely gets off track, but when he does, he tends to find another track that is also awesome. Seriously, he just keeps going strong. Bjorn was one of the founders of Photomat, which is the company I used to work for. Photomat is a software as a service company that provides website building services, and Bjorn basically built all of the non-visual elements of the application. Like, all of it. He left around the same time as me, pivoted, and started working for a bigger company called Metrological in a management position. I'm not sure if any secrets to success are revealed in this episode, unless the secret is that you should be highly knowledgeable about something that people value. Also, make sure you enjoy it and are good at it. Is that a secret? I think it just makes good sense. I should be a guidance counselor. There may be a shit or two in this episode, but I can't remember. For the most part, it's a wholesome conversation, but if you or someone in your vicinity are offended by occasional mild curse words, proceed with caution. I'm still unemployed, but I had an interview recently. I think it went pretty well, except when we talked about my Dutch skills. He was not impressed. And I didn't expect him to be. The fact that he even called me in was a little perplexing. The company's entire website is Dutch, the job listing was in Dutch, and almost all of their clients are Dutch. In my letter, I clearly stated that my biggest weakness was the Dutch language, and I wrote the entire letter in English. When I got called in, my wife suggested that I was the wild card candidate, which I kind of like. During a follow-up, the guy said that they decided not to hire anyone, and they're going to try to fill in the gaps with existing employees. So, yeah, the saga continues. I've been thinking about the previous episodes, and I came to the conclusion that it's good that I'm trying my hand at podcasting. It's sort of therapeutic, and it forces me to practice communicating with people who aren't children. I spend a lot of my time communicating with children. But it also got me thinking that maybe I should interview a child or a group of children about what they think success is. So, yeah, I think I'm going to do that, but not now. Here's Bjorn. I invited you here today because I'm a middle-aged guy without a job who never figured out what he wanted to do when he grew up. From my perspective, you seem to have figured a few things out, and I would like you to talk about that. Even though I already know you, could you please introduce yourself and tell me what you do, as specifically or generically as you like?
I'm Bjorn. Yeah, currently working at Comcast as a content partner manager. And in the past, I actually founded Photomat. And we also know each other from Viewbook, of course.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
I think a fireman, of course, or a police officer.
That's very common.
Yeah.
Every year at the school, well, maybe they don't do it for Groovy's group anymore because she's in group six. But with the younger kids, maybe they do it at your school too. They always print out a grid of pictures of the kids, and they're holding a little card saying what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm always really surprised to see how many people say that they want to be policemen, and how many paardrijuf. And like that for I assume most of you aren't Dutch speakers. That's a person who teaches folks how to ride horses.
It's so true. Yeah. Or maybe astronaut.
I think there was one kid who said astronaut. There's some weird ones on there, like a couple oddballs, but it's mostly teacher, Politieagent, police. Yeah, I could go get them, but it doesn't really matter.
So no data scientists. Or,
no data scientists. But there are a few very specific ones. There are a few very specific ones. And it makes me think, yeah.
What your father taught you.
Exactly. Was this fed directly to you from your father or mother or whatever? Yeah. It's a little bit too specific. But that said, I remember when I was a kid, my grandma went on a trip to Egypt, and I used to really like looking at her pictures of her on a camel, her near a pyramid, there's the Sphinx, you know, like stuff like that. And she also started buying lots of books about Egypt. I mean, that stuff is cool. You know, you got the funeral masks and you got the cool pyramids, and all the illustrations involved with Egyptian stuff are amazing and very appealing to kids, I think. So I decided that I wanted to be an archaeologist, which I think for a kid, at least at that time, I don't know, maybe it's common now. I mean, most kids didn't know what an archaeologist was, but my grandma told me. So that's what I wanted to be for a little while. And I never took any steps to become an archaeologist.
Yeah.
Did read some books, though.
I didn't take any steps to become a police officer or a fireman.
No.
And my father always said, yeah, you're a bit lazy. So I think you're going to own a chair company. That's what they said for years. And because I was also a little bit picky about food, my mother prepared, which she's not the best cook ever. Do I have to tell that?
podcast? She's probably not going to listen.
No.
Maybe she will. I don't know.
Yeah, and she's terrible at English. So, yeah.
Okay.
probably don't understand. So, she was always saying, like, yeah, I think you're going to be a cook, like a really good chef.
Because
never happened.
That's too bad. Well, I mean, is it too bad? I don't know. Is it too bad?
I don't know. I'm still interested in preparing food and I know all the Dutch star chefs.
Oh, yeah. I know a
couple
of them.
Have Michelin stars and I'm watching like documentaries about these chefs because I'm interested in the way they think, you know.
Yeah.
Like very creative and how they think about food. It's so different than like a cook at a cafe.
Sure, of course. By. I'm trying to think. I think the only Dutch celebrity chef that I know is Herman.
Herman de Blijker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a restaurant in the Haven and he's on the poster with some other guy. So I assume the other guy is also a celebrity chef. He has brown hair instead of being a large bald man.
I don't know.
The restaurant is called Goud and it's on St. Joop's Pier, denk ik.
That one. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's where I live.
Was it there when you lived there?
It was called Ivy's, I think. And then they had to change their name because there was another company called Ivy's and they had a sort of conflict.
Yeah.
Because it was also a restaurant or something like that. So they had to change their name. I think Herman and this other guy bought the company. But I'm not completely sure. I was already gone.
But you never had any passion for making restaurants?
No.
Despite what your mother pressured you into.
Yeah.
Did you feel a lot of pressure from your parents to do anything?
We had to work, but not to do anything they wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can sort of relate to that.
Yeah. I come from a sort of working class. They teach me how to work and work hard. And
yes.
That's the only way to earn money.
It's not the only way, it's the easiest way for most people to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You could have also invested in Dogecoin.
Yeah, I could.
I don't know if you followed the news
of the last 2 days. I don't think it was a good idea.
No, but if you did it that one week, you could have increased your investment many folds.
Yeah, I like the technology of crypto, like the whole blockchain technology.
It's awesome.
But I don't believe in blockchain technology for money or replacement for money.
I do. I just kind of wish it wasn't at this point. It's too much of a speculation media. Like I like the idea of it replacing money and banks.
I like the idea.
But right now people seem to be simply interested in it, not for its practical purposes, but for buying and selling for a quick buck or a slow buck. That's great for those short sellers. I would just like there to be something more efficient than the current banking system.
Yeah. You don't want your paycheck to be paid in crypto.
I do not. It's just too far too unstable at this point.
Yeah, like exactly.
For my wages, I require something that will be worth something tomorrow. I guess there's no guarantee that actual fiat currency will be worth anything tomorrow, but something pretty terrible would have to happen for it to become worthless. Exactly. So I'm guessing that I would have bigger problems than my paycheck if the euro all of a sudden was worth nothing.
Yeah.
Tell me about like where you came from.
So I grew up in a small town close by Rotterdam called Bleiswijk. Now they call it Landsingerland. It's very small, 8,000 people. My parents, they were like working class. So they worked in, my father started in as a construction worker. But in the early 80s, there was this financial crisis. So he got fired and he was looking for a job. Just like you. And he was willing to accept everything if it pays. He ended up in working in greenhouses.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he became a greenhouse specialist.
Sorry. For real?
No, well, yeah, I call it the greenhouse specialist. But he worked in the tomatoes and also in flowers. And he knows a lot about those plants, especially those flowers. It's still working hard and not earning that much. But I also did that when I was like 15, 16, maybe a bit younger. Mm-hmm. I think 14. Yeah, I started at 14.
Weeding and picking or what, like?
Yeah, picking tomatoes and also weeding, yeah.
Nice.
And that's how I earned my first money and that's how it all started, actually, because from that money, I bought my first computer.
Yes.
We didn't have a computer.
Okay.
So I had my first computer at the age of 16.
What was it?
I think it was a Pentium 2.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a Pentium 2, 333 megahertz.
That was huge at the time, right?
Yeah, and graphics card. We didn't had like crazy GPUs at the time. Oh. I think it was an Intel 740 chip. I don't know if you...
I do not, but that's maybe, okay.
Yeah, that was one fancy chip at that time. And we also had like a Monster 3D card.
Sound card?
No. It was like those crazy graphics cards.
Okay.
By 3DFX. Maybe you remember?
I don't. I wasn't really into PC stuff. Yeah. I didn't really get into computers until a little bit later when I started going to school. There was a time when I was a little bit younger where I wanted a computer. When I was really young, I saved up money from washing cars or whatever, and I bought a TRS-80. Do you know what a TRS-80 is?
Yeah.
It's like the Radio Shack brand computer that was, I believe, designed to compete with not the Amiga, the Commodore 64. Yeah, it was pretty bare bones for a kid my age. I was just like, so you spend 45 minutes typing this thing and then this little shape on the screen moves. It wasn't particularly engaging. So I kind of lost interest. But then later on, I remember when they started integrating multimedia stuff with computers and the 486DX was kind of like the new hotness. This is pre-Pentium. And I started to kind of get into it, like do some research then. But it never manifested. My parents didn't buy one and I couldn't get the money. And I was also a teenager and I started doing teenager things instead of playing with computers. So there was that. And then I basically remained dormant in the computer world until I started taking classes at MassArt and using Photoshop and stuff. Then I set my sights eventually on a Mac. And with the assistance of my grandmother, I purchased a G4, the first multiprocessor G4. It was awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Well, back in the days, I had to find out that Mac is better than building your PCs yourself. But that's also, I think, how I got in, because this computer, I don't know if it's like, if all those computers back in the time were like that unstable, but it was very unstable. Windows 98 was just released.
Nice.
I had driver problems.
Legendary.
Evidently, there was this hardware problem with this 3DFX card, which we didn't know before. And we came like 2 or 3 months to see that there was probably something wrong with that card. So I had a very unstable system. And I spent a lot of time with that computer and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
So after 3 or 4 months, I actually built my first computer.
Cool.
And also installed all the software for family and that's how it all went. And
that's how you became that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because my computer was so unstable in the beginning, and then my nephew, he bought it for me because he worked at a computer store.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He doesn't live close by. So I had so many problems that I think it were friends of my parents. They visited us and I told him about this computer. And then he said, yeah, I have a friend close by and he lives in Zoetermeer. So that's like 10 kilometers from my house. So and I will ask him to help you.
Nice.
And he actually did.
Cool.
Dad ended up in a new job because we still had contact after he fixed my computer. And he owned a gym.
Oh, okay. I know where this is going.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Yeah. So he owned his gym. And then sometimes I my school at that time was
this is post middlebar school.
Well, actually, like 16 years, you leave the middlebar school and then you go to the next school.
Okay.
And that next school was 400 meters from his house. I think someone needed a friend needed a internship, and because I think this company filed for bankruptcy or something like that. So I said, okay, I know this guy. He lives very close by. So join me. We go to him and ask. So we went to his house and asked, and he was fine with it. So
all right, fine.
Yeah. So we had still had a bit of contact. And after this guy's traineeship, he asked me to join him and work for him in computers in the gym. And they had all kind of plans to start a chain.
Okay.
So that's how it ended up in, like, I think it worked 8 or 9 years for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long. That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked I think it was 8 years.
And you were basically like what? Building systems to manage subriptions?
In the beginning it was just building computers, maintaining the network. And after that, it was also building some software, websites. In that time, it was very expensive to build a website. So I was super interested in building websites. So he bought me some books and software, and I started building websites in Dreamweaver. You probably know.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alas, I don't use Dreamweaver anymore.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Does it even exist anymore? I don't know.
No. After it was acquired by Adobe, I think it was like...
It was around for a while under Adobe.
It was around for a while. Yeah.
I don't know because I wouldn't use it now, but I'm an Adobe subscriber, but I don't really notice that it was in their package. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I use it in the time of Macromedia. So
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and it was awesome at that time.
Sure. I mean, if you look back at the code, you're just like,
Yeah, but there's also times like there was no CSS.
Exactly.
There was
exactly.
No this and that. So it was a pretty awesome tool.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I took a class when I was at school, you know, intro to web design. And it was all about learning HTML basics. And I would do this thing and it would take me hours and hours and hours to make this horrific little site. And then... 2 or 3, 4 weeks into the class, the guy's like, okay, well, now here's this thing here. And then he basically showed us that in Dreamweaver, you can take a JPEG and slice it and you can make buttons and you can make this thing that looks like a real website.
Oh, yeah.
I know that a lot of people frown on slicing and tables now, but that was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, but that was also the way to go.
Exactly.
Rounded corners. It sounds easy, but
it is not easy.
It was the worst.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was a funny class. It was before everyone had a website, and it was before there were things like Photomatter, Squarespace, or whatever. Yeah. And there was just lots of janky ass websites everywhere. And there were a couple good ones, and then there was Flash, which was awesome at some point. I mean, I'm not, maybe you don't think so, but the rest of the world thought it was awesome at some point. And then,
well, I also did some Flash, but not that much.
I did a little tiny bit, but
I always hated the front end a bit for some reason. I don't know. I still do, actually.
Well, then they completely changed ActionScript. Like somewhere along the way, they invented a new ActionScript. And anyway, Flash.
Yeah, it made it better. Yeah, but still.
But still.
So after like 4 years of working at the gym, this office was next to this sort of coffee bar, juice bar within the gym. So sometimes I was just helping at the bar if there was nobody there. There was this guy at the bar ordering stuff, and we had a talk, and he owned a software company.
Oh.
So he asked me to work for him.
Oh, cool.
And well, that's how I became a professional software engineer. So he had a small company. He worked for BP, the oil company.
That's a small company.
That's pretty small. But also Kawasaki.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You've heard of them. Yeah. Names like that. So that was pretty awesome, I thought. And Yeah. So I also started working there. So I made like, what was it? I think it was 80 hours a week, something like that. Because, school, job, and another job. Yeah. Not like working 80 hours.
Your time was spoken for, we'll say.
Yeah. That's how it all started with becoming a professional software engineer. And I worked there for a while. I did my traineeship there, also my graduation project.
Yeah.
That was sort of, I think that's what you see nowadays a lot, doing suggestions because you know people's preferences.
Yep.
That was actually my graduation project in 2005.
Okay.
So I made a prototype and it was pretty awesome. But it was way too heavy to run on a server at that time.
Right.
In an environment like what we have like now with web shops with a lot of people on it was undoable. At least how I made it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at a certain level.
Yeah. But still, in that time, you didn't sell it that much because it was very expensive to run on not that beefy hardware, of course.
Right.
Because,
yeah, now everybody has super powerful.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's pretty affordable to get crazy powerful computers these days.
Look at your phone. It's crazy. We're like
nuts.
Those like M1 processors of Apple. They are amazing.
They really are.
So after I graduated, I stopped working at that software company, and this gym, they asked me to do all the IT stuff for the chain there we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I did for, I think, a year. I also met a lot of people who know a lot about exercising and stuff like that. And it was back in like 2006. I think we started talking about this in 2005 about let's create this online platform for personal training, stuff like that.
Right.
What everybody does
nowadays. Like, yep. I got at least two of them on my phone.
Yeah.
Do I use them? No.
Yeah. So back in the days, there was no such software, especially not online. So we started doing that, but we were young and we didn't know about investing stuff. And then so it ended up like after 8 months, we ran out of money. So I had to find a job. The boy next door, he was a friend of mine. And he just graduated also at my company.
Okay.
He made a Flash interface, actually.
Nice.
He was really good at Flash. So he said, yeah, I'm doing a lot of freelance work and with Flash and stuff like that. And I know this guy who works for an agency. He worked at Fabriek, which is a pretty big agency in the Netherlands. And he wants to start a company. So maybe you're interested. We're looking for a guy who can do a lot of backend stuff. And I can do a lot of Flash and front end. And he's a really good designer. So we met. And then it went fast. 2 months later, we started this company. We grow a bit every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had that company for like 7 years. And I got a bit bored.
That's a long time.
Yeah. We had some employees. But I still got a bit bored because it was always the same work, making forms.
Building it was probably the fun part.
Yeah.
But it seems like... All right. Yeah, I plan on talking to a lot of different sorts of people. I've already talked to you're the third person.
Yeah.
You're the third person. I don't know if that's the order these are going to come out. I have no idea. It's not clear yet, to be determined. But it just seems like, what's the secret, Bjorn? Like you get interested in computers, you start following a course at school or whatever about computer science.
Oh, yeah. I studied computer science.
So you just immerse yourself in this stuff and you start meeting people along the way and your involvement and skills get better and bigger and better and bigger. And now you're talking about starting a company with these. I guess asking you what the secret is, you was just like, you just live your life. But I'm just going to say, it's not obvious to everybody.
Okay.
I think it's kind of remarkable that you, you're just casually saying, oh, and then this happened and then this happened and that's it. It just kept building and building and building and you make it sound so simple. But I think in most people's heads, they're like, but how do I do that?
And it was just doing it. Yeah.
That's trademarked, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe because you're young and you're, I didn't have kids. I didn't have girlfriend
sure,
or a house. So I just did it.
Yeah.
you learn along the way, of course. We had a lot to learn.
What did the company do?
We were just an ordinary agency. So we build websites, web applications, and after 2010, Apple came with iPhone and iPads and also SDKs to build your own app. So we also started with that. And it went out pretty successful, I think. We were a healthy company.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple of employees. I don't know. It was still for me like pretty boring stuff. Yeah, because I was completely, every time I was repeating this thing, building forms or simple APIs.
Right. For you, the exciting part was making the company, building it up.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then
once it became
like a job, you're just like, yeah, I can do this over and over again. For a lot of people, that's the goal, to get to that point where it's just a money machine. just cashing checks. Bang. Not that Europeans cash checks.
No.
Europeans.
Not anymore.
What's a check?
You stop doing that. And what is it? 1985, something like that.
Yeah. By the way, Americans,
nobody uses
checks anymore. Nobody. Checks are stupid. Okay. So you did that. And what happens next then? You get bored with it.
I got bored with it. So I said it to my partners. Evidently, the other partners said, okay, I want to stop. And we were also in the working on a acquirement. There was this company who was interested in acquiring our company.
Oh, nice. And just for the accounts or for the name or?
For everything.
Yeah.
Just they were the leading, they called themselves employer branding.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they make all those working at this site or working at McDonald's or whatever, working at Deloitte and
like eight human
Starbucks.
Resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they did it for like big companies, Starbucks, Amazon, Deloitte, all the big names.
Yeah.
So they were pretty interested in our skills because they already worked with us for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then they said, okay, we want to buy you. And they did it. That didn't happen.
reverse engineered it.
Yeah, well, no, I think we lost interest.
Oh, okay.
Took like 1.5 years. So I thought I want to stop, and I didn't have a plan for something new. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start freelancing or something like that.
Right.
I will see. I can program. People are looking for programmers, so
they really are.
Yeah, I don't care. I will see.
I can tell you right now. The developers are very much in demand.
Yeah. Yeah. Still.
Because those are all the jobs that are available right now.
Yeah.
Developer jobs.
Yep.
Very true. Popular. Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
So I stopped, and there were multiple companies where we had our office. So we talked to this other software development company called Hoppinger that we're going to stop. And that's where my first assignment came from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What was it?
I worked on different projects. A lot of Ruby on Rails projects.
Ah, okay.
Sheet.nl, that sort of BMB especially for French sheets.
Yeah.
And also selling and renting, but also castles, stuff like that. I did a lot of projects over there, and I worked there for 10 months. And then I got this call from Reem.
Ah.
And that guy, you know.
He loves Ruby on... Well, he loved
past tense, Ruby on Rails. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the owner of Viewbook, he called me. I got your name from this and this guy, and that guy worked for me. He didn't have time or interest in doing the job. So he said, call Bjorn.
He's
and
the
he
man.
Did. Yeah, he did. And we had a talk, and it was a nice talk. Yeah, that ended up in an assignment. And I think I worked as a freelancer for Viewbook till, we're talking about 2014 right now.
Yeah.
I worked for Viewbook till we started Photomat, basically. Mm-hmm. So that was beginning of 2017.
Crazy.
That's where we met.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. I remember you coming in. It was a weird time.
Yeah.
There were a lot of weird things going on. I don't know. I don't know. Talking about all the details of things is probably not.
No, but I think it was one of the weirdest companies.
It was pretty weird.
I worked for.
It was pretty weird.
In the beginning, I was like, what is happening here? It's so weird. Nobody speaks to each other. And Yeah, I remember that I do the way of communicating with the guy next to me, Martin.
Yeah,
was on Flowdock.
He's like 4 feet away.
Yeah,
2 meters away.
And that was so weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that went down. We could do a whole podcast about that.
Oh yeah,
but we can. But that's probably. Yeah, I don't want to burn any bridges or anything.
It was also a nice company.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, I worked between ViewBook and Photomat. I worked for 9 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a really long time.
And there I met you, the best support guy ever.
Award-winning support.
Award-winning, yeah.
There are no support awards.
I don't know.
There must be an award. There must be an award. I know that the Squarespace guys say that they have award-winning support, but
then there probably is an award.
There might be an award. Maybe they're lying.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that because maybe Squarespace wants to sponsor my podcast.
Oh yeah, okay.
They sponsor all the other podcasts.
They do. Yeah, they do 99% of them.
Can I just? I'm going to tell you a secret right now.
Okay.
Don't tell Reen.
You apply.
I might host this podcast on Squarespace.
What, dude?
There are a lot of options out there, but I think that it might be the most cost-effective one that also allows you to make a good-looking website.
Yeah.
There are a lot of podcast hosting companies, but the websites are super super janky.
And Photomod doesn't have support.
They don't have RSS feeds or audio embeds or blah, 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 blah. And
I can make it, of course.
But you could. Yeah. I know. And you know what? If we were sitting over there in our old office talking about this, it would probably get on the list.
Yeah. Well, actually, streaming audio was on the list.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. Well, didn't you build the functionality's there? You said it's there. It's just there's no interface.
It's just sound without video.
I mean,
images.
How hard could it be, right? It's in MP4 or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we basically were already there.
Right.
Yeah. But it never happened.
You just need, we also already have a player. You know, I guess you could make a custom audio player that's a little bit different than, you know.
It's pretty much the same.
The player was almost built. Like it was there for video, a very simple video player. It's an elegant and simple video player.
Yeah.
But
thanks, Florian.
Exactly.
He did a pretty good job with that.
I know. It's nice. Yeah, yeah. It's really nice. What do you miss the most about Photomat?
I think you guys.
Yeah.
Not the
coffee. Coffee breaks.
Yeah, coffee, ramen.
But really the coffee break was more about socializing.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, the coffee was good.
Yeah, the same with ramen or having like this Surinam sandwich or whatever.
We walked by, I walked by there with Marlene, it's like, oh, we used to go here all the time.
This poke bowl or, the lunches were very good.
It was good. Good times, man. Good times. Yeah.
That I miss that the most. You guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just so you guys know, I used to work for a company called Photomat and it was a very small company. And Bjorn technically was my boss because he owned the company or he was one of the owners of the company. But that wasn't really the vibe. It was just there were four of us, four core members of the team. And we all had a job and we were just doing it. It's not like anyone was barking orders at anybody. It was just like I had a job and I did it.
Yeah.
Bjorn owned the company. He happened to be my boss, but he never treated me like I was his subordinate. Nope. He was just a guy that I worked with.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the right approach, to be honest.
It worked for me.
Yeah, people are not stupid. They don't need bosses.
Well, some, you know? To be fair, some people are stupid.
Okay. Our users, right?
No, I would never say
that. You have to treat
that.
Them like they are stupid when you develop software. Because some people can do tricks like nobody can. They can just ruin everything.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
For real. I saw some crazy stuff over the years and I've had some crazy conversations. Yeah. And now the only conversations I'm having are here in my basement.
Yeah.
Bjorn.
Yeah. But it's a nice environment.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
I would like it to be better, but it's I don't know. It's a little overwhelming. I don't have that Bjorn tenacity to just... to just make the magic happen. I do slowly over time, it has gotten better. Like if I showed you pictures of a couple of years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, three and a half years ago, it's a lot better. It keeps getting a little bit better.
But you still have the fancy chair.
I do. I also have have a laptop upstairs and an iPad that belongs to Rin. He said I could hold on to it for homeschooling and stuff. And yeah, I haven't seen him, so I assume I'm gonna give it to him at some point.
It's yours now, right?
No. I would be okay with that. I would definitely be okay with that because it's nice to have an extra laptop around. And the kids like it too for school stuff, and they play these dumb browser based games. This is where the magic happens.
I think it's nice.
I like it. I have mixed feelings about it. What I'd really like to do is smash out the floor and make it lower.
I can imagine. I can just not stand here.
Yeah.
I think.
I have friends who can't stand here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some Dutch people are just immense. Extremely tall. You have to duck to go through this door and through that thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can stand everywhere down here. It's very low though. If I stand on my tippy toes, I can hit every single one of these joists. Whatever. It's okay. Spend my time down here applying for jobs. But like I told you, I fixed the fence yesterday. My neighbor is he's a retired guy. Maybe we should just start a fence repairing business. we both have a little bit of time.
Or a podcast business.
Burmon and Burmon. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'd do a podcast with him.
Well, we can make software for podcasts.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking as I was investigating this, and I was looking at some of the Dutch companies that host podcasts, I was thinking, maybe I should talk to some of those guys and see if they want to start a podcast hosting platform, because we could do a better job than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I can't because I'm not a developer, but the rest of the thing is basically already built.
Yeah.
You just need to
you want
add an RSS feed and like a button that publishes it to all the hosts, to all the applications, and maybe add a mailing list. I don't know. Like whatever.
It's becoming more popular nowadays. Podcasts.
It really is. Well, I think that the Netherlands is maybe like five or six years behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super popular. It's all over the KVK website. It's becoming very popular. Yeah. So yeah, I always want to talk about the triumphs and the pitfalls, but it just sounds like you had this rocket trajectory to wherever you're going. And the only sort of pivot was I can't say demise because Photomat still exists, but the ceremonial downsizing of Photomat that turned into what it is now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to call it the ceremonial downsizing. It seems to me that the biggest pivot is you taking a job at a corporation.
Yeah. And a big one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And, but it's also in a way, it seems kind of like a logical step. In a way, it just seems like a departure from what you're, was it ever a, did you start off with goals or did you just go?
Well, I don't know, actually. Yeah, it just happened. When this thing, I saw it a bit coming. So I thought, yeah, what am I going to do now? And then it cost a lot of time. And I also wanted to spend time on my kids and don't live in uncertainty if we're gonna earn money and stuff like that. And we also had like we always wanted to buy a new house, for example.
Oh, really?
With a bigger backyard.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So I think for that reason I chose to work for a company. And I always wanna work for a tech company. Yeah. My preference was like a smaller tech company backed by a bigger company with
that's
a lot
exactly
of money.
What you got,
and that's what I did. And I knew this company because my brother, he worked for me at that agency, and when we stopped in 2013 he started working for them. So I was looking on LinkedIn at the time, and one of the first jobs I saw was at Metrological.
I know those guys.
I know those guys. Yeah. And I knew they were acquired by Comcast. So I was like, this is this nice tech company backed by a big corporation.
Big.
It's huge. Yeah, it's like 200,000 people working for them. So I thought, let's give my brother a call to see if he's okay with the fact that I want to work for them and becoming his colleague.
Right.
And
what does your brother do?
He's a QA engineer.
Oh, okay.
So he is doing...
So maybe I could work for him.
Yeah, well, yeah, next to him maybe, yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I think you will fit the job, yeah. Yeah, so that would be awesome. So, Oscar, if you hear this, please call Jim. I sent you his resume. Well, he asked me to. I sent him that we kind of record a podcast.
Oh, nice.
And then he said, "Yeah, send me a link."
All right, well, I haven't posted any of them yet. Yeah. This is the third one. It was supposed to be the fourth one. One of the guys canceled. He said that he had cold feet about speaking English for so long, which I completely understand. Because you know, if someone asked me to do it in Dutch, I would 100% refuse.
I'm getting used to it now because I do it now for since we met. Like
exactly.
Since 2014. Because
I forced you to speak English.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, that's a weird habit. I think, is that a habit of Dutch people?
I think it's both. At least at Photomat, it was both. Because I know that even when, especially with Rien, I would start conversation, or he would start a conversation in Dutch, I would reply in Dutch. And slowly, I don't know if it was me or him, I needed to explain something better, so I used a few English words, or he felt that maybe I wasn't getting the gravity of the situation, and so he switched. Slowly it turned from Dutch to broken Dutchlish to
English.
English. And then it just turned into English.
Yeah.
I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame for it. I think that there were times when he got sick of speaking English, I'm pretty sure.
But
probably. I respect that.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
But most of the time we just sat there doing our thing anyway. It's not like we were talking the whole
day. It also reminds me of those weird situations where we were talking with the four of us at this place.
Yeah.
And then two people were talking to each other and the other two Dutch guys were talking in English to each other. And then after some time they said,
"What are you guys talking about?"
Yeah. We're speaking Dutch, English, and we're both Dutch. What are we doing?
That happened
a lot.
Yeah.
So funny.
Florian's mom was American.
Yeah, I know.
So his English is really good.
Yeah, he's really good at it. I can program in so many languages.
Yeah.
But speaking languages,
the worst. Your English is fine. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, this guy canceled, but I know that he would have been fine.
Yeah.
It's when I first came here, the first time I came to the Netherlands, I was a student on exchange. I lived in a house in Enschede, and one of the women who lived in the house was, she had done an exchange when she was in high school to an American high school. And she was super excited to talk English and blah, 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 blah. And first of all, she was very talkative anyway, still is. I'm sure. I haven't seen her for a while. Hi, Noor. But she was super eager to practice her English, you know, and she was, completely understandable. Her boyfriend also lived there and he was fine, you know, didn't speak English a ton, but it was fine. But there was one guy in the house. I'm clicking. I shouldn't click. There was one guy in the house who barely ever talked to me. And I just assumed he wasn't interested or didn't care.
Yeah.
But then, like, the first time we had a party, he had a couple of beers. It's just like, dude, your English is fine.
I think I also had it back in 2014 when it just started with Viewbook. I didn't think we didn't talk that much.
I guess on a day-to-day, I guess we didn't because we were doing completely different things.
Yeah.
But I remember a couple conversations by the cooker and stuff.
Yeah,
so
like, course,
I remember a couple in the beginning. I was like, I remember coming home and saying, "Oh, there's a new guy. His name is Bjorn." And, blah, blah, blah. And you know, like, I remember having that conversation with Marlene. I have no recollection of thinking, "Wow, Bjorn's English sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
I never thought that.
Oh, I do my best, but I think for me it's still hard for some reason. I don't know.
Well, of course. I mean, it's hard to be perfect, I suppose. When I speak Dutch, I don't expect people to jump down my throat every single time I make a mistake, because I make mistakes constantly.
Yeah.
And almost all the Dutch people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis or week-to-week basis speak English far better than I speak Dutch.
Yeah.
And it's almost universal. Sometimes there's a kid in the supermarket maybe who doesn't speak English very well, but my Dutch is definitely good enough to speak to supermarket workers.
Yeah.
That's one of the places where I get the most Dutch practice, in the store.
I know. Yeah. Or ordering like coffee or stuff.
Flat white with havermilk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't even have to say it anymore.
And a carrot cake.
I'm a regular.
Or a cookie or something else. Yeah. What is it? Ginger cookies?
Those things were good. And the gevulde koeken.
Ah, the gevulde koeken. Yeah.
Did you stop at Lebkoff on your way over?
I was actually thinking of...
You took the tram.
Should I take some carrot cake? Or
maybe you should. They have the different loaf. They also have the lemon loaf, lemon poppy loaf.
That's also pretty good.
Guys know
how to
do
it. I miss that. Yeah, that's what I miss the most. You guys, of course, but the coffee, the ramen.
Yeah.
And the cookies and cake.
I hadn't had ramen for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then... I'm sure everyone's really interested in this. And then we ordered takeout ramen from Takumi on our anniversary. That was so good.
Yeah.
They deliver the broth and then they deliver the stuff in a little sakya. Nice. And then you mix it up.
Crispy and fresh.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, man, nice. So good.
Yeah.
You kind of take it for granted when it's every week.
Yeah.
You forget how much you like it when it's just there.
Yeah.
And then I haven't had it and I was just, oh, the richness. Oh, it's so good. It's like a flavor explosion in my face.
Remembers me of when we had like vacation or stuff like that we didn't went there for like maybe
for weeks.
4 weeks. And then the first time everybody's like, oh, this is good.
Silent dudes slurping their broth. Yeah. I think I'm probably missing something.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll probably cut some of the stuff out.
Yeah, of course.
not all of it, but
some of it.
Because, there are a couple of things that nobody cares about. But you know what? I appreciate that you came on.
Yeah, no problem. The least I can do for you, Jim.
I really appreciate it. I hope everything continues to go well.
Yeah.
At Metrological.
And I hope you will get a job, and it would be awesome if that's metrological and we can see each
other. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be super awesome.
I did not think it was gonna last this long, the unemployment.
Yeah.
I really thought it was just going to be a couple of months. There were two times that I thought it was over. I thought, this is the one.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
And I was wrong. It's out of my control. I can't force people to... hire me.
Nope.
Do you have any parting words for me or anyone else?
No.
Okay, be excellent to each other. That was Bjorn. He's a great guy. I gave him a copy of my resume, and he's going to pass it on to the bigwigs at Metrological. Fingers crossed. What did I get from our conversation? 1, don't underestimate your uncle's friend. Anyone can be in your network. 2, it's okay to pivot. 3, camaraderie is one of the best workplace benefits. I mean, besides money and a deep sense of satisfaction. If you have any questions or comments, you should feel free to contact me by sending an email to mail@feelfreetodeviate.com or contact me via social media. I am @feelfreetodeviate on Facebook and Instagram, though it remains unclear if I'm going to keep that up because social media is not my forte. Check feelfreetodeviate.com for more information about the show, and be sure to check the Cliporama page if you want to contribute an audio clip or some other form of amusing anecdote. That's all for now. Thanks for deviating with me. I'll post a new episode in 2 weeks. Until then, be excellent to each other.